having Joni are doing okay with the aftermath of their guests leaving. It's been over a week now, and they were pretty down that first Sunday.
They seemed pretty light yesterday.
Okay, good.
Yeah, both of them.
So they had said, told me yesterday, or on Sunday, or that was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Yes. Mm. Time just flies. So that he had called them, and that they went to Pennsylvania or New York somewhere. Well, they said even New York. So I don't know if they had. So Pennsylvania was the original destination where that all happened. They're currently in Texas.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Like, so back down where they were at, I guess, somewhere in Dallas or something like that. But so they may have got to Pennsylvania and ended up that they didn't want them there, or they didn't find somewhere to be at. And then, but yeah, so
they said Ron said, told me that the reunion with the mother did not go well.
Yeah, I figured it was going to go poorly. I thought it was ill-advised. I think Derek was doing it because it was easiest for him. So thankfully, Kai is at least texting my wife, so they've at least got that. And you know, Kai is just saying, yeah, I just wish we'd land somewhere. But again, I think Derek is trying to find the easy path for himself. Kai is a 15-year-old, and she still hasn't been to school in 2-3 months. And again, going to see her mother that abandoned her, I mean, that just wasn't going to go well in any situation I could think of. So anyway, I was just happy that she and Michelle are texting, and I just really pray that she'll get some stability, you know, find a school, find a church, something like that. So.
Did anyone ever figure out what happened to
Nina?
Gwen spoke to her 2 or 3 days ago, and one of the things that was happening that she was working Sunday, she was working 2 jobs.
Oh.
And actually, while she was over the summer, she was working on Sundays. And so Gwen spoke to her a couple of days ago. She's still working 2 jobs. She's still working on Sundays. And so
so she's doing school and then something
second
else.
Second job, yeah.
Is she still living with Petrina?
That I don't know for sure. That's my assumption, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
I can't remember. Me and Beth, I think, were talking to Petrina one Sunday, but I can't remember what she said. It's just... We were talking more about the kids, I think, because it was around, or maybe Matt had talked to her at the time. It was the week that the anniversary of Daniel's death, she was here. And so Matt, I know, had talked to her that day, and I had talked to her a couple weeks before that. But she never really was, it was never clear, like you're saying, Steve, whether or not she's there or not.
Yeah, I sure.
We got the email that Melinda Worthy's dad, I guess, has pneumonia, not doing well. And then Wanda Hill, she's got another friend. I guess she just lost a friend recently, and another one that's close to death. I know her name is Sandy.
And Shane Hines was up there Friday, and then today, it was a pretty major heart attack.
And how old is he?
He's probably 52, 53, yeah. And he, Friday night, they determined that it was about 20%. His heart was functioning about 20%. But then they said, but he's going in the right direction.
True.
And Vicky is a nurse practitioner, and all the kids are in some kind of healthcare, so they kind of know it. And so today they said it's still, they haven't measured it, and he went for a walk, but he's really tired and kind of agitated because he's not doing anything. He took a while trying to help him figure out where he was and why he was there. So, but it's going to be a long haul for them. So.
It was good to see Katie singing on the praise team, but I wasn't there to ask her how she's doing. Did anybody have a follow-up with her?
I didn't catch her afterwards yesterday, but
yeah.
Asking somebody, I can't remember who, but they said she still hasn't any leads yet or hasn't got anything close.
I've kind of dropped the ball with Ed Bielek. We used to get together pretty regularly, then his health went down, and I haven't figured out how to get with him anymore. And I keep forgetting to call him. And but he's, I think, what is he, 96? February is his next birthday.
Is his son, I know his son comes with him a lot, would he call and let us know if something?
I think they would.
Yeah.
But that son doesn't live here. He just comes and visits. And when he comes and visits, he brings him here. And he lives with his other son and daughter-in-law.
Okay.
Ed Jr. And, yeah, so I don't feel comfortable just kind of going over there. I don't know why. But, and when I suggested maybe taking him out to eat, I think he was... physically going downhill, he didn't feel comfortable with that, so I don't know what to do. I should call. So.
Anything else?
I guess Marion's been struggling with her depression. Changed up the medication, and she said today she's feeling a little better. She's going to fly out in the morning to Houston to be with a good friend of Byron and Liz, Mike, until Saturday. I saw Joe Shelley Sunday. I didn't get to talk to him. Anybody get to talk to him?
I did.
Yeah. Seems like he's doing pretty well. I mean, all things considered, he's, you know, I think he's got, can't feel much in his hands and in his feet, but, you know, I guess it's part of the medicine he's taken. But he's excited for Adam getting married and for the holidays and stuff, so. Yeah, real good. Mm-hmm. Jeff, do you want to pray for him?
Yeah. God, we come to you and we just think about all these different things and these families and people that are around us and the congregation that we are watching over. We ask you for Derek and Kaya, and we just know that family is just struggling to really know where to be and how to be there, and just sort of tearing down on her, especially as she's not able to really be the child that she could be, but also be in school and have friends and things like that. God, we just offer them up to you, God, and we know that you have a plan, and we just ask you to be around them and open up doors for them to be able to experience people in your kingdom. God, for Katie Castry, we ask you, God, for her job, her search, as she's still continuing to look, and we just know that she's working to find that for a while now and be with them as they are looking for the right place to be. Brad Bielek, we also ask you, God, and just lift him up. We don't really know much about his situation, but we know that at the age, it's always a question of what's going on and how to handle sicknesses and health and just getting around, God. For Nina, we also lift her up, God. We don't know much about her situation, but we also know that she's just been busy working a lot, and we just lift her up to you and ask you, God, to help bring her back to the church. For Joe Shelley as well and his treatment, we ask you for him, and just glad that he's his outlook is good right now, and that especially with Adam getting married this in the next 2 weeks, I guess. Also ask your blessings on them. God, we just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brett, I didn't time you on the Devo. Did anybody time him?
I started late.
Yeah, I think he was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably a couple minutes. Like, so, Dave, I didn't know if you wanted to do this or if you wanted to pass.
Yeah, I've got handouts that I think will be
whatever's
easier.
Whatever's easiest for you.
Easier
see which
to
one's
see.
Harder for me to read?
Yeah. It's the same one from the financial one. Brad would tell you.
No. This is version 2. It's a little bit bigger print. I just wanted you guys to know where we are. This is not a final, but maybe you can help with a couple of decisions to make. This budget for 26, we talked at the Finance Committee meeting last week, and this has changed a little bit from that, where we've been able to fine-tune a few things. We got a real estate tax bill for the rentals. We put that in. We decided to change the rental rent, increase it a little bit more than I had projected. But overall, everything was a wash from that meeting. We left that meeting with a $31,000 deficit in this budget so far, as opposed to a break even. And this still has a $31,000 deficit if you look at the bottom of page 3.
Right.
This assumes a 5% increase in contributions from this year's projected actual. And I did not change that. And so you guys might feel it's reasonable to ask the congregation for more than that to bridge that deficit. Or we could try to save money in a couple areas. What jumps out to me as possibilities is to not have a summer intern. That's a $6,000, $6,500 budget item. However, that's a very popular and I think impactful item. So that's not a recommendation. That's just an easy trim. Easy meaning, you know, we could let Nathan know now he hasn't moved forward, to my knowledge.
He's already talked to Izzy.
Okay. Okay. So we would need to weigh, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing that's unusual in this budget, it holds flat most of our spending. The youth and children's ministry budgets are trimmed a little bit, but not very much. They're not spending their whole budget this year, so I trimmed them a little, but not a lot. As you can see that, it keeps things flat in a lot of areas. Our refinancing our debt, we doubled our interest rate from 3.5% to 7%. So that's an extra $12,000. And we have 5 years to go on that mortgage.
What's the principal on that?
If you look
300,000, something like that. Oh, you mean the
on the mortgage?
How much is left?
Yeah.
Oh, about 300.
350.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct. And so that's an increase. And then the real estate taxes, we've got a 3% raise for all the staff in there, except for Devin. He just got hired, and, you know, we put our best foot forward with his rate and don't need to do another raise there. Minimum wage for the janitorial staff is going up to $15 in Missouri. So we keep Carol and Alec just a little ahead of that. I'm taking them to $15.50. And we might hire a teen at minimum wage, but that's a little bit more. And that affects the summer intern cost a little bit. Went from $6,000 to $6,500. So
real quick on the custodial, I was looking at this earlier today, which you sent out, and I guess I was
not terribly surprised, but I didn't see the numbers. We spend 2.5 days cleaning this building is what it looks like. And we spend 3 days fixing it. So I just want to, I mean, that's seems like.
How are you calculating the days, man hours?
Well, I mean, per here, you've got 9 hours a week for Carol, 8 hours a week for Alec, and 4 for a teenager. So that's
21.
Right. So that's 2.5 days, right? Okay. So that's, it's like, man, that's just a lot of cleaning. And then we spend 3 days swinging a hammer and a paintbrush. I mean, I guess I didn't realize that. And so.
Yeah, because we added, that's another thing this budget does, is adds Jim Patterson.
Right.
The final page is the wage breakdown.
Right.
It has this year plus the.
Right. And I guess on that is again, I didn't see these numbers before, and it's a little higher than I thought, but it's something to consider in that we have a lot of activities in this building that are not charged, but they're not free, you know, because, you know, and at some point we may have to just say, okay, listen, we may have to share that cost with them. And so just wanted to throw that out. We've got, you know, which is great. We got this facility. A lot of people are using it, but, you know.
It would be interesting, like, if we just ask all the basketball guys, put $1 a week in the jar, and all the pickleball people, put $1 a week in the jar, please. That does not sound burdensome. Might be really interesting to know what that would add up to.
Have we gotten any from the pickleball? They said they were going to put
Yes, there's been. It's kind of sporadic, but every now and then they'll bring something in and give it to Elizabeth, you know. 45, 50 bucks, so it's not insignificant. So,
yeah.
So anyway, just something to be mindful of is that, yeah, we got a great facility, but it's not free. There's expense. So
our rental properties are cash flow positive.
Yeah, I looked at that. That was surprising. That now the costs that aren't associated are Tom and Jim's, but we're still way up on that, more than I had thought.
So if you take our rental income that is 41.4. If you see that yellow column, the 26 budget, we're increasing it from 1600 to 1750, by the way, in March for each of the houses. And so that 41.4. And then if you go under facility, there is rental house utility, rental house maintenance, rental house real estate. And so that adds up to 17,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're about 24 grand cash flow positive, and we always look at that as pretty much covering Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And he does more than just the rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've got capital spending there that really doesn't show up in these expenses. But anyway, that's just a ballpark picture to realize that.
And I was going to ask, is this, you said the rate went up, is that included in that?
Yeah, speak up for me.
You said that the tax was going to go up. Is that included in this actual $10,000?
Yes, that's the actual for this year, right, that we just got the bill.
Okay.
And so that is reflecting. That's one of the fine tuning we did since last week.
Okay.
So anyway, as we consider, and all the mission spending is flat in total. The missions committee might move things around a little bit. But it doesn't, this holds the line on that as opposed to increasing it. That includes CFS and ACTS and NEATES. That's a line item. We're not actually sending money to NEATES right now while they work out their not-for-profit status, right, but we plan to make them whole when the time comes.
And the North City on that one, this is just, this will be the end of it, right? That 5,000?
I've got an appointment with them next Saturday to give them the option of one more year at this funding level as budgeted, or half for 2 years if that's in any way better for them. I think they'll take the former.
Yeah.
But yes, that we will be exiting that financial relationship. And so we've got plans with them this weekend. So, let's see. So anyway, I don't like budgeting a deficit budget. On the other hand, what's unusual is this year, we are projecting a very positive bottom line.
Right.
If you look at the pink column for total 25, now, this is projecting October, November, December revenue identical to what we got last October, November, December.
Which one's pink?
So we have actuals through September. And we had a very robust $80,000
This pink column.
Okay. So you see a $74,000 positive bottom line is what we're projecting. Now, it's got a very robust December, but we tend to have a solid December. And I coordinated with Andrew on December 7th. I'll do a mention as part of the sermon timing of the request. People do catch up, paint the picture where we're at, and looking forward. So.
And on that 74, I think it's important, and you've said this before, is that it's because we didn't spend, we didn't have, you know, Andrew on, we didn't have all the ministry, all the other expenses.
Right. We had a full-time children's ministry budgeted.
So it's not that people should assume that if they gave like they gave last year, we're going to be 75 up again. It's like that's not going to happen at all.
So. Right. And so I won't even mention that amount being positive. I'll just say that even with the deficit in giving that shows in the bulletin, we're fine this year because we had those savings.
Right.
But, you know, next year we're... it would take a 10% increase in our current level of giving to do a break-even bottom line if that was the only change we wanted to do. Or we could look for other things to change.
So I guess I'm confused on that because I thought at first a 5% over actual was going to get us break even. But
no, 5% gives us this $31,000 deficit.
Gotcha. Okay. And 10% will break even. Okay, I gotcha.
So we either trim expenses more aggressively, we enhance revenue, or we, the other creative option is I can approach more people about our CFS arrangement, where the church's commitment to CFS of $60,000 is met by individuals who can get a 70% tax credit that the church can't get. Mm-hmm. So right now we have a handful of individuals that have pledged for 3 years in a row now, 36,000 of our 60 commitment. And if I could find a few more, then we could possibly save $24,000 and folks would maybe trim their giving a little bit, but again, it would only cost them 30% of that, not the 100%. And so I've got a couple folks in the back of my mind to talk to. I want to remind you guys of that. If you're not taking advantage of it and it might apply to you, an example would be if somebody could use, let's say, a $5,000 tax credit. They have enough Missouri taxes, they could use a tax credit of $5,000 in a typical year. If they gave CFS $7,000 and got a $5,000 tax credit, that's only $2,000 out of pocket for them. Mm-hmm. And so they could reduce their giving to the church by $2,000. They're completely level, flat in their giving, but the church is saving that $5,000, letting the tax credit cover that commitment from the church. And so the half a dozen folks that are doing that right now adds up to 36. And we've got, you know, I think most are renewing for the new year. I've got a couple to firm up again, but it looks good. Mm-hmm. And that'd be 3 years running that we've used that tool. And that's been a great blessing. Mm-hmm. So I'd like more people to get on board, but
another question on Elizabeth. You've got her down as hourly, and I don't know if you meant hourly or that's kind of just the rate she's here. But she's salaried, right,
Elizabeth? Technically, I think she's salary because she was supervising the janitorial folks. Mm-hmm. She doesn't supervise them anymore, so. whether she's salary or hourly, it's all calculated the same.
Okay.
Ideally, she's salary because when she goes over in her hours, we're not actually vulnerable. So I guess
is exempt or non-exempt is maybe a better term.
How can we call her exempt?
Okay.
Because it used to be the supervision piece.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that anymore. And so I would like a way to call her exempt.
Right.
The IRS has some rules on how to do that. And I'm kind of letting that be fuzzy and gray right now.
Yep, I'm happy with that.
Because just this year we've tweaked that, so.
Okay. So I guess you've got a question on how we should respond to 5%, 10%, and what to do.
Yeah, what sounds like a reasonable ask to the congregation? I don't want to be pie in the sky.
Back up a little bit. Well, we just, since COVID, we keep going down, down, down.
Yes.
And what are some of the reasons of going down, down, down? I know we have people retiring, we have less people.
Mm-hmm.
How much less people? We don't even keep count.
Yeah.
Do we have less people this year than we had last year?
We lost some really some good givers. I mean, yeah, we lost some people that were very good, they were good in their giving amounts, and so we lost a few of those that hurt.
Yeah, because we've had sort of two ways, I think, of losing people.
Yeah.
So we had around the time Jeremy, when Nathan started, at that point there was a big exodus, let's say. Mm-hmm. And they may have not been super big givers, but because there was a lot of them, it equaled to be at least some. And then this last year, I think.
And we think so. We don't really know how much any of them
gave. Just on estimates, just because there's a lot of them. If they're giving $5 each, $5 by a lot is a lot.
Yeah, because usually when people leave, they've left before that with their wallet.
Maybe. Well, like with this, it was a decision that was made that they were upset with, so they were continuing to give probably up until that point, where the second wave was like this last year, we had a good handful of families that left that were big givers. So they were on the other side of the picture where we don't know this group, but this one, they were bigger givers, and I think that's been one of those things that has definitely impacted it just in the last, let's say, 12 months. But we've also got lots of new families coming in, which I don't know if they're giving or not. I know one of the families I was in there when Elizabeth was, she's like, who's this person? I was like, well, that's good that they're giving. So it was like one of the, I don't remember which family it was, but it was like one of the new families that I don't know if they've even placed membership yet. And so she didn't even know who it was. And so I had to sort of explain, it's this person. She's like, oh, well, yeah, I have seen them. But so it's just one of those positive things that I think that as time goes by, these new families are sort of equaling us out. So we've not really lost count wise, but because they're new members, they're not big givers really yet.
Yeah.
To be within 5% of a goal budget isn't a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
We've got reserves that could absorb that. You just don't want to go to that well consistently. And we could even look at this and say, look, we're going to come out ahead enough this year to cover next year's deficit. We'll ask for 5%. And eat reserve, you know, our reserve's going to balloon here a little. We know it'll go down a little next year. That's not crazy. That's just not a healthy habit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me characterize it that way.
I don't really have any problem with that at all. I think historically, we've always been completely different from the budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we projected, it's just a plan, it's not
correct.
And so there's going to be plus and minus every year.
Yeah.
So like you said, as long as it doesn't end up actually eroding consistently our nest egg, I think that's good. I don't know what's happened here on this section.
I've just put everything in the mortgage payments, and I didn't try to break it down between.
But if this is the difference between the budget, or not that, that.
Oh, I see.
This, that number right there would not be the difference between the projected and the new budget.
65.
It would only be like 10,000, right? The difference in the.
Yeah, 10 or 12. This.
It would be this number less this number.
69 projected. 279. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it.
And I don't know that it affects anything, but.
No, that's good to correct. We got a formula. I think the bottom line's fine.
Yeah, okay.
But, that's very good.
Good eye, Don. You still got it.
But, yeah, I don't think, I don't know that maybe. The way we ask for the 5% is just to say, you know, a 5% increase would get us to this point. And of course, we don't want to end with a deficit. So certainly, you know, asking in effect for more than that, I mean, not a specific amount, just saying, here's what 5% will get us. So that's obviously not going to allow us to do everything that we want to do. So just inviting people to give what they can, you know, and
I think that's important that you find a way to articulate it that way, that the dollars represent activity. So the budget is the church has a vision, right? This is what we want to do. It's not the dollars, but this is what we want to do. And yeah, we've met the budget. We didn't have enough. But that means there's things that we didn't do. And, you know, and people need to understand that. It's like, it's great. We're fiscally responsible, but that means there's a lot of good that's going undone. So I think that's important to get across to people, that it's, you know, dollars represent, you know, more than just numbers on that paper.
Church has been very generous on their occasional,
right.
Their focus giving. Yeah. Food Pantry is doing very well, to my understanding. CFS is doing very well. Burkina Faso project did well.
Yeah.
Is Axe doing pretty well?
Yeah, they're doing well.
To the body,
yep.
A lot for that. But
they're doing well. Yeah, financially, they're fine. Okay.
So when things are presented and the giving at the potlucks that we have is helping cover that. And so,
We had a class you were going to do. I don't think it's going to happen, which I thought would be good. But I do think pulpit time would be good to kind of talk about this. So you mentioned, you know, some reasons why we're down, and you said retiring was one of them. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about that because I'm getting ready to retire, and it's like, well, I probably am representative of most people, and it's like I pay on what I get my paycheck on. So like my 401k. You know, I haven't been tithing on that. I don't know how you did it, but it's like when I start drawing out of that, it's like, you know, I have not given that to God yet. And so there is still a first fruit out of my 401k. And it's just now I'm starting to think about this, but I think people need to see about, you know, think through all that, you know, because again, and I talked to Don, is in my head, it's like I look for tax loopholes, which is good. But I shouldn't be looking for a tithe loophole, right? And again, I think a lot of people say it's my retirement. You know, I shouldn't have to tithe on it. But, you know, well, you know, have you tithed yet on that? And so I just think there's a lot of, and especially because we do have a lot of retired people.
And some that are having to required distributions, right. And just be real creative and challenging people on those. Right. And I think that's probably why we get so much in December. I don't think it does.
Yeah.
Okay. So we good on that, David? You got what you need from us? Okay.
Let me know if you have more input, more thoughts. Mm-hmm. Let me just throw this out there. I thought I might approach Mark Mitten with the CFS. He's a financial guy. And I thought I might approach Steve Jones. I haven't yet, just to paint the picture and see. Unless you guys feel that's inappropriate, I don't want to pressure Mark at all. Just want to have him understand.
You mean with the tax benefits?
Okay. Hey, if you would consider giving this way,
right?
Do we know that, that Mark is and they're regularly giving, and they're giving to Nathan with different things?
Right. No, I don't know this level of giving.
I wonder if you could just ask Elizabeth. Just you ask Elizabeth and just get that.
Okay.
My only fear there is, I think they're sort of new to church and the community, and I don't know, asking them not to give directly to the church as opposed to the CFS. I don't know. I mean, I don't know their maturity and all this yet. And it is sort of a convoluted way to. It gives you a tax advantage, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I would have that gut feeling too.
I mean, I'm like Steve. I'd like to know. I'd like to feel that they're giving, you know, to church.
Yeah.
And but I know they are to the pantry, and
this is all new. Yeah. They're not tithers.
And I think we probably have not an insignificant amount of people like that. That are sort of new to this community.
Yeah, and you know, when you've gone all your life and you've not tithed, that's a big chunk.
Yeah.
So are you doing your class in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Lord willing. I've got a lot of practice stuff, but I've got all swirling around in here.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Dave. I mean, great job again.
That's
good.
As always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So that gets us... And I just wanted to... You know, I think the leadership class is important. Now, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I think it's going well. And I just, you know, we've got next week, and I guess next week you guys will bring up Bardwell and McPherson.
Yeah.
And
I've talked with them and said, look, we're not going to talk about it until the third week that we're going to bring them up. And I asked, are you guys still in? And Matthew said yes. And Eric's answer was interesting. He says, yeah, I'm in for doing the discerning thing. So almost like he's hesitant to be elder, so this will be the discerning time for him.
And that's kind of how I was. And so I...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been going to the classes, so that's good. I keep looking over at him.
Yeah.
So that's good. Great. And you know, again, I think you guys are doing a great job. We haven't got any questions. We'll see Wednesday if we
get it is interesting. There's not been any questions. So I guess that means we're just really clear. And then the whole setup that we had that you put together. And so
how did it go this? Because this week is the week that you... So I have not listened to it. So I'll probably listen to it on my way from here. Because that's usually from the building that I'm listening.
It was the qualifications.
The qualifications. So the one woman man...
He said it, and we went on.
I didn't drag it out anymore.
We had talked about.
Yeah.
I think it was on the list, and
he gave three or
two
four
seconds.
Nobody's like, oh.
Yeah, he gave three or four different ways to say it, and just kept going. And
he kind of had a matrix of the elders' qualities from Timothy.
Yeah,
and
I did
Titus.
See that up there whenever I came in once.
I could have saved you a lot of time.
No, oh, there it is.
He worked hours on that.
Me and PowerPoint takes forever.
We just went down the list, and so people had time to ask questions if they want, or like they had time to scan the thing.
Certainly, if something just fired them up, I think I would have.
Yeah,
because I led it off by saying that I think of these as more qualities than qualifications. Yeah. You know, that the type of person describing the type of person that would be of the character and the that we need to have for this position, that it's not something you go do and then check a box. It's
Then starting off with blameless right after that is just a well placed the way that works. Hey, look, we're starting with blameless. Everything else after this.
I read, you know, one of the books I read about eldering, and you had the passage Titus 1:5, and it was in the Acts passage as well. Is, you know, they went around to the local churches and appointed elders. It's like, okay, what kind of people are these going to be, right? I mean, these are the local churches, and, you know, they're a bunch of Gentiles that don't know nothing, and they probably have messed up lives. And But they said, yeah, you still have to pick elders out of these people. And it's not, you know, they're not perfect people because you wouldn't be picking anybody. So I that's important to me as well because, yeah, they said just find your best people.
And in my mind, that comes up this next week when we start talking about the duties. You know,
right.
Think about a church that's just starting up. I mean,
right.
Literally from Pentecost, they come back, they start meeting, and the importance of having somebody with the responsibility to see things that are done and people are, you know, tended to, and, you know, that, yeah, you walk into a group of people and say, okay, these are the things that have to be done. Mm-hmm. Who are the men that are going to make sure that happens? And you got to do with what you got, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And
the elders are also responsible in that to keep first things first.
Right.
And it's like feeding people, that's important, but that's not the first thing. You know, the first things, again, is, you know, the gospel I gave to you.
And it's all being led by the Spirit. Right. You got to believe you're going to be led by the Spirit, too.
Yeah. And I guess this leads us into the congregational meeting, and I don't know if this was going to be part of the topic of that meeting, or...
We need to talk about what we want to do. Right. It's like... So that's what do we want to happen in the congregational meeting, first of all?
And it seems like it'd be a good time just to start out and say, look, we've had a lot of changes here in the last, mm-hmm. since we had the last congregational meeting. You know? Mm-hmm. We've got a new preacher, we've got a new mm-hmm. children's minister, we've got new elders, mm-hmm. we've got, you mm-hmm. know, things that are happening, and just give people time to kind of feedback on that, you know? And because mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time we had a congregational meeting.
So it is sort of your as like it was it you and Tom was it you like on the liminal thing. Whenever we had that conversation, that was almost like a congregational meeting. I felt that Sunday about this. Jeff is leaving, or Jeff's gone now. I think it was the week after Jeff's retirement, and that felt like that. I mean, I don't know if there was anybody that actually raised their hand and asked questions. But that's the way.
That's true.
That really whole, how it felt.
Yeah.
Not the rest of them, but that first one was that way. It was more very serious, very much almost factual things as opposed to maybe biblical things, but trying to push it that, hey, this is what's going on. And so that's the last time I remember really something like that. But before that, it's been years.
Yeah. And so then the first thing is what kind of format. And then how are we going to do it to lead it? And I'll give you a couple opinions just about who to lead it. I think Don and I shouldn't. We've been in front of everybody, I think, enough. And I was thinking maybe Dave and Steve to lead it.
I'm down with that.
I bet he is.
Yes. Amen. They do great.
That's the main thing I want to do is make sure I wasn't doing this thing. No, I think that would be good, and whatever we decide to put on there to discuss. But yeah, I think the changes, and I kind of talked about that a little bit Sunday, that we're very different. And that, let me back up. I had Kreider came up to me. He felt like that was a Debbie Downer with all the changes, and I didn't think so. And then Susan didn't think it was that. It was negative either. I kind of thought it was, and for me, I love change. Mm-hmm. And did you guys see that any?
I felt it would have been better off not said. That was my take.
Not so, talk about all the changes?
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know that we ever landed the plane or so, you know, what was the point of saying that, you know, so... you know, if it was, you know, we went through this turbulence and now look where we are, you know, we've got Andrew and all this stuff and you know, it's great. The change brought us to this point. But it was just talking about the change without any resolution in my mind. So.
Where was that? Was that in the class or was that?
In class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in class.
I envision this meeting as kind of a summary, and then a chance to catch anything that bubbles up that, you know, more questions or that's the end of our window. We've asked for feedback for Jeff. So assuming that all goes well, you know, that needs to be a everybody announcement, not just congregational meeting, but mm-hmm.
one last reminder maybe of that. I don't know.
I do like the idea of a 5-minute review of the last 3 weeks of the eldership class, simply because there are people who have missed it, all three, and came just for the congregational meeting, not watching any of the videos. Yeah. And
I think we ought to kind of cast the positive vision as we move forward in 26, which it'll be good right after on the throes of him talking about the budget and next year's budget and just...
What about listing out all the new families that have joined us? You know, there's quite a few, just to say we've got... Isn't it wonderful that, you know, these people have come to us? You know, you think about it, in the last year, we've had a very good number.
It's actually placed membership. So that, not even if you did talk about all the new families that are still here with not placing membership. But, so maybe spinning it the opposite of the liminal. So the way I felt that the liminal went was really bad. I felt that it was very like this Debbie Downer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that picture could be spun the other direction. And hey, we're out of this liminal period. We are on the advancing forward. We have lots of new members. We have, and here's a handful of them, just so you know their names. If you don't, throw their pictures up there, whatever. And we have Andrew, we have Devin, we have just all this positive things going on that the hall's not blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I like, you know, a structured review. So, you know, Dale Lundley used to do Remember and Behold. You know, you look back at all the things that happened, you look forward, you know, here's our vision. And again, you look back at, you know, it's, you know, just more than just people, but, you know, Neotez got hit by a tornado. We thought it was going to be, you know, camp over, but, you know, God provided for that. And then just different ways through the year that God's provided with people and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, you look back and you can just start
in Marseille.
Marseille. Yeah. And then, you know, looking forward, what is our vision? You know, it's, you know, we want to be committed to God and listening to the Spirit and, you know, challenging us to grow in our faith, and, you know, those kinds of things. So I think, yeah, I think that would be good.
Do we have another elders meeting before the 7th?
We have one on the 1st.
Okay, good.
That's the first Monday.
So we can kind of finalize things with that.
Oh, yeah, because the 31st is on a Sunday. Mm-hmm.
30. I was going to say.
Yeah. Whatever day it is. Yeah. The last day of the month. 28. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, I got some things out here, guys. So
Dave and Steve got it going on. All right.
We can play really hype music.
Yeah. Doompa, doompa, doompa.
Goodbye yesterday.
Yeah, so kind of the, like you mentioned, the Remember and Behold, that's kind of, I think that would be good. Do we, are they going to expect and do we give them a chance? If you have questions, send them to us and we'll address them.
I would say send them ahead of time, yeah. And again, you know, looking back is, you know, I think you were really good at this. Just remind, it's like we wanted to wait for God to give us the right person, right? We looked at 25 people. We spent... a year, well, 2 years really, you know, because we've been starting this before that and talking to people, but, you know, we wanted to listen to God and we still want to listen to God, you know, going forward.
Would we want to add to the list of the good, positive things, not maybe the not-so-spiritual things, like, you know, we put a new front on the auditorium and we you know, resealed the...
Right.
We did a lot of painting.
I think that's always
this year. That was last year.
What's that?
The front of the auditorium and then the ceiling.
Yeah, the front of the auditorium was a little over a year. Like it was at the beginning of the, like right around the liminal period start. So if you want to, if we're doing it from like the last 2 years, let's say.
Oh, people won't know. They won't remember.
Right. So they're not saying no.
But I mean, just those things too. Yeah. I mean, are sort of positive.
And.
Pantries,
people,
double.
Churches on the street, and the amount of people going to that.
Just our mission, you know, what we're doing.
Right.
Nathan had to use both church vans for the refuge weekend.
Wow, that's great.
Weekend. And he said, plan on that with the teen events going forward.
That's great.
Usually I synchronize it with him, which one he's taking and which one I'm using. I know I need them both, which is really cool.
Yeah, because that impacts Katie too. So it impacts you, impacts Katie.
Oh no, we're going to have to get another van, huh?
they actually had three vans. So they had the two church vans, and then I guess it's Carly's Highlander that they to carry luggage. So. Yeah, so that's a big positive too, just the growth in the youth group.
We're averaging, last year we averaged 18 to 20. This year it's like 22 to 26, something like that.
You told me 28.
You got the Owen kids. Yeah. But you got some other names.
20% increase right there.
Way to go, man. And we've got some other younger couples that are coming, but we know some others that are coming, like Stacy Borth and her husband. Mm-hmm. Is your brother and sister-in-law, are they going to be coming? Didn't they move to town or something?
No, Devins.
Devins, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you had a relative that moved here too.
I have distant, they're cousin of another, a sister-in-law kind of thing. But yes, they, and my understanding is they're planning on placing membership.
Yeah,
they put that on the cards.
Yeah, so those things are.
We were dog sitting for them last week.
Yeah,
yeah, because they weren't here this week.
Yeah, they had a family emergency come up.
Yeah, and we had another family that came in this week. I don't know if you guys got to meet them. So Tiffany and Dennis.
Yeah.
And they stopped and talked to me before they walked out the door. So I said hi. I think they walked in, but and it was interesting because we did a lot of research before we came in.
Wow.
So Andrew, your sermons online, or somebody's sermons online, they were happy with. And so they're looking for a new church, and we were one of the first people.
We went for the website.
Yes.
And did you ask for the new website?
They just live right here.
They've been here for quite a while, it seems. I don't know if they've been, maybe they've always lived here. They've been going somewhere else, and they haven't gone to church for a while, it seems. Mm-hmm. And then now they started to be like, oh, really, did you go back to church?
Tiffany and
Dennis.
He's real tall.
I don't know. So they're probably my age, at least, but they didn't have kids with them. So, I mean, college.
Yeah. Michelle said she thought that they were our age. Now she.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it was a
lady has had kind of pepper.
Yeah, and she works. So she's going to Honduras, Guatemala this week. So Michelle and I, they were just chatting it all up. She runs a, I don't know, some kind of a group that she goes down there once or twice a year. So anyway, Michelle got to spend some time with him.
Yeah, I saw her with Michelle a couple times.
We felt really welcomed.
Oh, good.
Like somebody had said it here in church. They're like, yeah, he said that this is a welcoming church, and yes, it has been very welcoming.
Good. Yeah, there's a lot of positive things that are happening. Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I wanted to ask you during the meeting here, as far as where your family lives and your kind of plan and school districts, so how's the commute going and timing?
I have not mind the commute. You know, we've the flexibility. You know, I was telling Steve, there's been a couple times where I had to pick up the kids because the last minute where they commit, but you know. Instead of trying to work from home with the kids there, I'll take the rest of the day off and work on Friday some. So that's been nice to be able to have that kind of flexibility. Honestly, you know, I enjoy listening to podcasts, and I put in whatever I'm either about to preach on or something, you know, Bible project, and that gets me set. So I'm already thinking by the time I'm in the office. So it hasn't been, and it's about a 30-minute drive, 35, 38. Depending on who I'm meeting where.
All right. Well, I wanted to go through the calendar. Unfortunately, I've got my work computer, and like yours, they won't let me get on to church site. So I just, we gave it out last meeting, the 3-month rolling schedule. So Andrew's going to be out for a few of those, but I think you've got replacements for all those, correct?
I actually just got them confirmed. So I got Desmond is, or actually I guess Jeff is preaching this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got Devin preaching the 28th, and then Patrick teaching the 4th. And so Patrick and me are hopefully getting together sometime this week just to kind of start talking about it. He was checking his schedule to see when he could meet, and I told him no rush. I wasn't necessarily worried of, but I'll let him kind of, we'll talk with him, see if there's either something on his heart or so I'm going to start Names of God in January. And, so,
and it's cool that the two people you had to fill are people that have not filled for the last 2 years or whatever, however long we were trying to fill things, a year, I guess is about it.
And that's one of the things I wanted us to talk about is we've got classes scheduled, but I don't know what is wise. So it looks like going forward, we have three classes going at one time. And do we have the people to sustain that?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, either I or Andrew could talk about it. So this last series, right, we had three going on.
Right.
And so it shocked us in that all three were well like attended. So I don't think anybody had like one or two people in them. They were, even in the Next Steps class, there was a good handful of people in there. And so the situation is that just because we have more classes doesn't mean we're going to have any less attendance. It just means we're catching somebody different that would not go to that class if there was only one.
So it's not watering down the other classes?
Correct, okay. Yeah. And so that's where we're trying to keep an eye on what we're offering to a point, sort of a textual, sort of more applicable. So like the Next Steps was sort of that realm at this point. And then one that's more relational, let's say, or so
practical
your guys' is. So for the next series would be Don finishing up probably Romans. Depends on how long he keeps going. I need one more.
Yeah.
Romans part 3. Romans part 2 is for January. And then Eric will come in and do the parables with the Enneagram. So he's been doing that with CFS for the last almost year, I guess, now. I guess it was after you quit, I think.
I didn't quit. I retired.
No. So like whenever you quit doing counseling.
I was in May of this year.
Yeah. So that's about the time he had started. Oh, I think doing the parables with the Enneagram with them. And I don't know if you were going to their meetings or not.
No.
But I think it was around the beginning of the summer. I think. So I think he's just about finished with the book. He's like, yeah, this is something he'd be really interested in teaching. So he's doing that, and then Dave will be doing some financial decisions.
Financial piece.
Is what the label is, based off of financial piece and things like that. So that's how that one sits.
Great.
The next one then will sit for the spring is The Life of Paul. So Jeff Fogarty has been wanting to teach a book by a guy named Gorman, and he's still questioning whether he's going to use it or if it's going to just be an offshoot of it, but based on Paul. And then there's questions still around that too, as somebody complained about Paul and that threw everybody for a loop.
Somebody complained about Paul.
Yeah.
Oh my.
And so we spend too much time with Paul as opposed to Jesus. So I don't remember.
This is more of an outside source, not specifically our church.
Yeah, okay. just a general that the churches tend to like Paul more than Jesus.
They have most of the letters.
Yeah. But so then that's that, and then the more applicable would be if Andrew still plans to is Taking Every Thought Captive by Kyle Eidelman. So it's a book similar to the way Steve did the class up here with. And so then the other part we don't have a third class for that session, so we may only do two that one, but it's still open. I mean, it's still March of next year before we would really start that. So if we find something, it may be a next steps class, maybe in order at that point. And it may be in order even in January, depending on how people are getting to the point of needing to figure out their next steps. So, but that's always something we could throw in at any point because it's the same material generally.
And I know, I was talking to Betty Vaughn today at lunch about this, and you know, I am almost always in favor of more classes. I mean, I get that there is such thing as too many, But people learn in so many different ways that the more you can have different topics of different array of things, you know, I would much rather people having to go, oh, shoot, am I going to the Romans class or Unoffendable now? You know, when they start having that, because it makes them have interest in, you know, repeating the class or coming back and doing it again, those kind of things. And the truth is, you know, okay, now we only have 20 in each class versus 30 in each class. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, right. Because at least lectureship style, it doesn't matter how many are in the room. But, you know, if you're wanting good conversation, mm-hmm. the smaller your group sometimes, that can actually help in some of that conversation. Where, you know, Unoffendable, the more tables you have, the longer it takes to try to get just one sentence from each table. Mm-hmm. So,
good, good, okay.
Yeah, it's exciting. I was excited to see that we have three. Because we've kind of, I've been concerned, are we going to go down to not even having class anymore, which is what a lot of churches do. Mm-hmm. And I don't like going that direction. Yeah.
So, Dave, did you say you're going to do yours next year, your class on financial literacy?
Yeah. I didn't do it this fall. Okay. And so it's 9 weeks is the January, February, early into March. Is that the?
Yeah.
I think I got the dates.
It's actually, I think, 12 or 13, I thought.
No.
Are we not?
No.
Is it smaller then?
I think it's eight.
Because a quarter is 13 normally, and so that's what we usually try to work with.
Well, this past one was gaps. Nine.
Yeah.
This past one was nine.
Was it only nine?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we ended up putting elders class.
Oh, you're right. So we took. Yeah. Yeah, so generally we're doing that, but there's all
back
the
back to school.
March.
And guess what? We have nine, is what we have down for.
We have nine.
Yeah. So four in January, four in February, and the 1st of March.
Okay, so nine. Don't ask the person that's been sitting on this committee for like ever. Yeah. I should get my other paper out that has all the notes on it, just like you did.
So, yeah, whether it's financial stewardship or decision making.
Yeah, that's the way she had it wrote down.
Give, I don't know. Well,
and I wanted to, while we're thinking about budget and slots for sermons, I mean, I thought, at one point, we were hoping at least once a quarter to get Dave or somebody in front of the congregation, either for a sermon or for, you know, an extended, you know, communion time where we talk about that. And I still think that's wise. And I don't know, because we don't have anything on the calendar now that I'm aware of, and it's been a while. And so I still think we ought to find time to do that.
Are you talking about, like, the way we kind of... organized the worship where we had more singing and then we had
no I'm just saying at least I thought once a quarter we wanted to get in front of the congregation.
Who's we?
The leadership.
Okay.
Wanted to get in front of the congregation about tithing, you know, that this is an important
So
December spiritual... 7th Dave is going to share the sermon time with Andrew.
Okay. So okay.
That we did. He
gotcha.
Because I was talking at the financial meeting that that one I'm doing the Magi.
Okay,
and
great.
My
great,
theme
great.
Is actually, do you want to rule or be ruled?
Yeah.
And which ones actually will give you peace?
Yeah.
And so that ties really well into the giving. So we were going to talk about how we can do that. I was actually going to also mention we had talked about January maybe even something as well, I'm doing the name to God, one of the names is the Lord provides. And so that's another one that I've already started getting creative with, but that has an option of, I had thought about taking the Lord's Supper as a part of, when your picture came up, thought about using that as part of it. But that also made me think we could make the offering a more special time as that as well. And maybe that's another way we can get creative with a little bit more time of talking about giving. So,
good. Great, and then just the church calendar. I know we got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to have pancakes, and you know we've got the Christmas tree for warmth or whatever that's called. You know, bring in your bins and your coats.
Snowflakes for warmth.
Yeah, and
Christmas Eve service,
and so just stuff that you know it's going to go quick, and just we need to stay on top of that. And so I don't know if you're running the pancake breakfast again this year. And
yeah, Becky and I, we've talked about that.
Okay, so just let us know and just
it'll be the same thing. And so
it worked great.
So we'll just do the same thing.
I should mention
know, it's my dad's 85th birthday. I'm going to miss the, Amy and I are going to miss the picking.
Okay.
Probably every year we're going to be going to.
Yeah.
Oh, good. In that middle of December weekend, so.
All right. So I just want to make sure to get the calendar in front of us, and then our next meeting will be December 1st.
Okay. So, wow. I would say let's make a priority. We finalize what we want to do with the congregational meeting.
Yep. And Don and or Dave and Steve will have lots of questions for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the Sunday before that, so that's the 30th, there is no Bible class that week, so that's a gap week. Mm-hmm. So we'll have some desserts and stuff like that. Like
there's no adult Bible class.
Adult?
That's right.
Did I say adult Bible class? So, so the adults will not have Bible class, just so that we're clear.
Yeah.
And so the adults can come and eat some
donuts.
Probably not donuts. I'm not a donut fan.
I love donuts. I'm not
probably, so Steve is bringing donuts.
That's right.
So we've been getting the, so Nathan and I have got these things at Sam's, I guess is where it was at.
Muffins.
They're like little, I don't even know what they are, like dessert, like
pastry cakes.
Pastry cake things. Mm-hmm. And they're really good.
I highly recommend the cinnamon crumble or the blueberry crumble.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, both of those. They're probably better than donuts. And so,
if you deep, if they deep fry them, maybe
there's as many carbs in them. So, but so that's what the plan was, to get those. But
we'll go to Krispy Kreme after church.
We will. Yeah. Remember we used to do Krispy Kremes the first Sunday of the month? And I had so much discipline. I would only eat six.
This is the other reason why we don't get donuts, because somebody's going to eat six of them.
That's right.
This at least we can buy based upon people.
I was disciplined just eating six of them, man.
But actually, bringing up class, you bring up the thing. So me, Devin, Jeff has been a part of this conversation of trying to figure out when does class officially end.
Yeah.
And I knew this needed to come up when two elders are asking me recently, when does class actually end? Some say 11:30, some say 11:45. Yeah. It doesn't really matter which one.
It just has to be coordinated.
It has to be coordinated, especially with the kids. I prefer 11:45, knowing that some of our groups go long. If you do the videos, you're running into a short amount of time. And really,
I thought it was 11:45. We didn't leave till.
Well, when does it start?
Yes,
that's
another problem.
That's what I'm trying to get down. So, the way I've been running, this is purely based off the hearsay I've got from different people, is that we try to end worship at 10:45. That from 10:45 to 11 is actually supposed to be a fellowship time of intentional talking to people, and that 11 o'clock starts classes.
And I started the Romans class at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. It just seems like too much time. I'd make it 5 minutes.
Brett doesn't like to talk to anybody.
No,
not a chance.
Not a chance.
And you want people to talk.
And you want to have the ability to slide meet that visitor as well. Okay. So if there's one extra announcement at the end of church, and it takes...
So 11 to 11:45. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wanted to make sure we knew here first, so that me and Devin could then plan tomorrow how he's going to roll that out, because his teachers have not been doing a break, so I found out. And so his thing is, some of the teachers, just let them go. But if I ask them to hold till 11:45, that's going to be forever for these kids. So he's going to build in an intentional break for the kids to have their own downtime, which I think is very smart.
During that 11.
During that 10:45 to 11. But it was one of those we needed to make sure we were all on the same page.
Nathan's crew as well.
Correct.
Needs to also know that.
So that will be our next part of our next gen meeting tomorrow.
Great.
So we'll... 11:45 be okay with the teachers, I guess, as long as they know.
Yeah, and a lot of it came down to just the kids get antsy, so that's why they push to 11:30, but then the parents aren't showing up because half the classes are going to 11:45. So really, it's my biggest understanding
half
is...
Of them. So the problem is that half the parents will come get their kids, and the others never come, and... Okay. I mean, we know which class they're in. They're up here on the fourth floor for some reason.
So Devin's plan was to... these next 3 weeks kind of do a trial run of the new schedule, and then we were going to, with our new teachers, start telling our new teachers in January, 11:45 is the deadline, especially hit hard if you have kids. Hey, we're running, if you're at 11:44 and you got 3 more minutes, please announce, parents, we got a few more minutes, but your kids are going to be waiting on a few, please go, because we want to get in the habit of following that schedule a little bit better to help him out.
We don't want to have to install bells.
That's right. Yeah.
Good point.
Because okay. That was mentioned.
All right.
They're helpful. Yeah. And I said,
I'm gaveling this meeting.
Oh, look at that.
Boom.
Oh,
what a man.
Oh,
gaveling it. So anyway, I'm going to squeeze all the juice of Don out while I can. You know, we've only got him for a couple more months. So mm-hmm. Hey, you close this out. And again, you know, Dave Weiler and Steve Walker, you know, you guys are on my heart. And I know God's going to walk you through this. And so that's a big thing. And so, Don, if you...
Father, we are grateful to be together tonight and just feel your presence with us and are so grateful for how you continue to watch over us and love us and can consider our needs. Thank you so much for this church. And it is exciting to think about the things that we've experienced over the past year or two and just, again, seeing your faithfulness in so many things.
Yes.
And so grateful for those that you continually just lead to us. We just pray that you'll give us the wisdom and insight to really be doing the things that will attract people to want to know more about you.
Amen.
And we lift up those in our congregation, Father, that are with special needs. You know, there's people struggling like Marion and I know Mary Jo and others that just continue to struggle with depression. And I just pray that you'll lift their spirits and give them the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Just pray that you will bless them and all the others that we don't know about or don't mention. For those that are physically sick and struggle just with chronic issues all the time, we just pray your special healing powers and comforting to them as well, Father. And we do want to lift up our brothers, Dave and Steve, and just the things that they're going through right now. And I'm sure a lot of questions still in their minds, and just pray that you'll be with them as they pursue the best courses of treatment. And we, again, just pray for your healing hand to be on them. And we just love them so much. And grateful for this group of elders and just what they have meant to me. And I just pray that you'll continue to give them wisdom and insight as they, I know they just want to lead this church the way that you would have them to, and give them a special measure of your wisdom to do that. And just thank you so much for their hearts. And Father, you are such a great and awesome God in so many ways, and we are just so grateful, and just pray that you will be with us as we leave here tonight, that we will continue to seek ways to serve you in all that we do where we are. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen.
Way to go, Brad.
7:30. Boom. Actually, it's 15 minutes later than I thought, but I'll take it.
Kate is their last name.
Anybody know Kate Schneider's parents' names?
Right with the knuckle.
He is one of the nicest.
He
guys
is a super nice guy.
Yeah. He's not a Christian. He doesn't take communion. Like to ask Kate about that.
Any update in your path to
nope.
New health? And
no, this has been a bump. I'm getting back to my exercise routine.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, as long as I don't develop symptoms, I don't need to do anything.
Is that right?
So wow, that's great.
You know,
watch and wait.
Forward, that's right. Huh. And if I get shortness of breath or kick into AFib or something, then there's a mechanical valve that I'm a good candidate for that they can do intravenously through the femur.
Ooh, yeah.
Thing. And that's a 5-year solution instead of a more permanent one. But hey, if they're going to do that every 5 years, I'm apparently a good candidate. But that's all.
Good.
That's just if it's needed.
Thing. Yeah.
And
so her name is Gail.
Anyway, so that's a very promising diagnosis.
Dave, can you go to altitude or is that bad for you? Or like you and Jeremy used to do roller coasters too, and a lot of roller coasters say, you know, if you've got heart issues, you can't do these things, and they
didn't put any restrictions on me.
Great.
I said I want to go skiing in January. They said I don't see why not.
Good.
Good.
And so
Any more updates on you?
Appointments coming up? Appointments coming up. Got testing, PET scan on Thursday, and then a visit with an oncologist at Siteman on Monday. So.
Is there a time us three vision elders can get together this
week? Yeah. Friday.
Phil and Gail.
Vegas.
Okay. How do you spell that last name?
Dove, D-O-V-E, I-K-I-S.
And what's their phone numbers?
1-2-3-4-5-6-7.
You're asking a lot.
That's Kate's phone number.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
No, Fridays are off there. I want to bring you out on a Friday.
So she signed up for things, but Kate always signs her up.
Oh, yeah.
So the number that's in there is always Kate's number.
Okay, yeah.
So unless they're... I didn't check
for that could be tomorrow after staff meeting.
Well, that's okay. I'll ask me in person next week.
I don't know what your day looks like.
Yeah, my day is going to be crazy.
So Wednesday. So, Steve, were you talking about this week or next
week? This week.
So... Wednesday, I don't know about your Wednesday. That will probably.
Okay, what?
This... The only thing I've got hanging right now is I got to, whenever Patrick, his is with him doing hospice stuff, he's kind of a.
Yeah.
His schedule changes regularly, so it's he just throws me in whenever he can.
So you're going to be with him on Wednesday?
I don't know when.
Okay.
He told me he's
getting transferred over to Mercy South.
Oh, really?
So that'll be great for him. He's having to follow up to Troy. He's excited about that.
It's a really nice hospice facility.
Yeah, my mom was in that one.
It's very nice.
Yeah. So Wednesday.
I'm flexible, whatever works for you guys. Yeah. So.
I mean, I'm more flexible than you guys are.
All right. Mornings, like...
If he is any more flexible, he'd fall out of that chair.
Gumby.
So, let's see, that's Wednesday. I'll go to the gym. So it's 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Does that work for you?
Yep. Okay. I'll be here.
Right. So we want to meet here or someplace else, Steve?
Okay.
Right here at this table.
Right here at this table? Okay, that works. And to be here, the table will be here.
So when I'm at my office at 9 o'clock, and I've totally forgotten, give me a call.
Okay.
You're not at the table. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to meet here at the building or what?
I don't care. Wherever you guys want to go.
It's good. That works for me.
Yeah, build reps.
Okay. What's
your Z for? I don't know. It's just the Z, HPZ series. So that's what our company, they just bought
the Z series.
So I don't know. It's like 5 years old. It used to be pretty slick. But
one thing in our next meeting, talk about locking up the building, Jeff.
Right.
Doing these books, I want to order something. Jeff, thanks for locking up the building yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get together. We'll recommend.
I need to start reading that one. This one I'm lukewarm on.
I like this.
No, I don't think so. I think
this one.
Both of them are good. That was and he's also got to buy me a phone.
Right.
But then he also has a...
That's what I was wondering, if they were connected or...
A video series. So. I've been trying to figure that out.
So are they going to say...
Yeah, I'll start looking at that one.
Both of them are good. I think it's really good.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That one, I just... It's like part two, but they need the part one first. But it's like I keep looking for the part one, and it's not there. So it's always... It assumes that you know all these things.
Well, but there's not a whole lot of definition of what an elder does.
Well,
so he's in the modern day. And I really like one of the heart of an elder.
Cheese pizza.
Shepherding part of
it.
I really like that. Getting away from being a board, an administrative, to being a shepherd. I think that's one thing that they really
emphasize. And I don't know where I stand on that yet. Because I think
I don't want to have anything to do with an eldership that mainly does administrative stuff.
Really?
No. I'll resign. I'm not going
to do it.
Yeah,
because I don't think that's what God's called.
So my thought is, again, I always start in Sweden. Yes. Like, if you're going to start a church in Sweden, because they don't know nothing about nothing.
He's like, how do I get another Philly cheese?
What would you do? And so I read this book, and it's like, this is okay, but
You need the book one first.
Well, this is more of an established church, is right. What it talks about.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, sure.
And so, and part of it is I don't have, I mean, I guess I've been in Church of Christ fairly long, but I just don't understand some of the fundamentals. It's like, I wouldn't start here. I would do all this. And the other is, I think the administrator is necessary. You know, somebody's got to do it, right?
Somebody, but it doesn't have to be the elders.
Right, but I mean, then what does an elder do? That's the question then.
Shepherds.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Is
that
I think from like Ezekiel 34, just that type of relational stuff is more what I believe.
Right. Because I like what we've got: vision, administrative, and pastoral. I think all three of those should belong to the elders, and I think even the administrator.
But that's just our opinion. Nothing in Scripture can tell you that.
No, but I think you can derive it from Scripture. In my mind, it just seems, because again, administrative is, if the elders aren't responsible for the budget drives what the church does. So the elders can say, this is what we need to do, but the administrative people say, well, that's not where the money's going, you know. The money's going here, and the elders say, well, it should go here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you do in those situations unless the elders are
responsible? If you have a good system, everybody works in concert with each other with that.
Right.
And I think we could easily, just like the Act 6, get some of the members to take care of the budget stuff so that we could be allowed prayer.
But I would say...
That's what Act 6 says.
Right, but I would say that that's problematic in that the budget drives what the church does. So let's say the elders say that we want to support the youth ministry and the food pantry, but the administrative people say we want to support the building and CFS. It's like, well, that's where the money's going, but the heart of the elders is like, well, we would prefer that we support these other ministries.
But that's where you have a healthy system and you work in concert with each other.
Right, but so you can't take the elders out of it. You can't take the elders out of the ministry. That's what I'm saying.
Out of it, but right. We don't have to be plunged, immersed into it.
But the elders should be on top of it. My thought is you have responsible people that say, hey, here's our recommendations. And the elders say, that
people full of the Spirit.
Exactly. And we'd say, yeah, that's great. However, here's what our vision is. We think we need to focus on this. Okay, go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. Instead of them explain, hey, here's what the budget is.
Correct. Yes.
The elders say, yeah, this give us a recommendation, but then we'll direct you. So they're doing 90% of the work. But the elders still have to decide if it's reasonable in light of what the vision is. At least that's...
I think it's more than just the elders that's doing that. If you're a member, if we've communicated what the vision is... So again, all working in concert with each other.
Doing some of it too, and so it's just depends.
But I can't see a church run by.
That was one of the biggest things. By like, we don't want to necessarily
a democratic church where.
Oh no, I don't agree.
If that's what you're saying is that everybody decides, like the church decides what we do, like in a democratic fashion.
Those in leadership, elders, ministry leaders, decide.
And so,
yeah.
22, 23.
I like you as an
that's what. Okay.
So Jeff, I think these TVs turn off by themselves.
They probably do. I turned it off.
Okay, because that one I think just blopped off by itself. I didn't do anything.
I generally just turn everything off because I don't trust anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so generally.
And I didn't realize my computer does the same thing your work computer does. It won't let me get to any. Well, it's very limiting on what the links I can do. So I was going to go to. The church website that I've got, so it's under McKnight Crossings to get to the calendar. But it's like my work says you can't do that. It's like, daggummit. So there's you have to submit a whitelist. I think everything, they work on a blacklist and you have to submit whitelist. Yeah. It's like, daggummit. So, all
right, I'm going to stick around here, I think, a bit and be ready for Sunday.
Oh, no. Are you on this Sunday again, too?
Preaching, so. stuff.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to get rid of the balloons first, unless you want to take them home.
No, no. But, just have the kids pop them. It'll take them like 2 seconds.
They pop them all. But I may take them upstairs and let Devin take care of it.
Yeah.
But my sermon is going to be around the table. So I'm going to test that. Oh. So I'm going to use...
Like a big table or like one of those tables? Like, or
no, one of the big table.
Okay.
I'm going to have people sitting at it.
Oh.
So it's based on the Chosen clip where they're doing the Deanu, like, so where they're saying it's
oh,
enough
yeah.
is enough.
Yeah.
So we're playing that first, and then we're going to be sitting at the table. And so one of the last things will be the people at the table reading off one.
Oh,
and
that's
so,
good.
So it's this whole picture of it's enough. So we're coming from this picture of hope.
Right.
In that it's whatever God has done for us is enough for us.
Right.
And it's for everyone. It's not for just one person or whatever. So hopefully it'll work out. And so I haven't tested it. So I told Brian about it. And so and I told Andrew about it. So it's just like trying to get everything. And
you know who's going to be up at the table?
No. I have to think through that, and I need to figure out just to make sure that they're going to be there.
Yes.
Maybe one of the people at the table?
No. You need somebody with good diction and
well,
good...
and they only have to read one line.
Okay.
So, and then they have to say it's enough.
Yeah.
Because everybody at the table, and the plan would be that the whole congregation is going to be saying it's enough with us.
Oh, that's good. And does it... the second one follow on the first one and then add something, and it's going to go the same way.
Yeah, and so I had found one online that somebody had wrote, and so I'll probably use theirs, or at least the Jesus pieces, because they stop really before he dies doing the it is enough, and so we'll follow through with something like that is my thought.
Yeah. Man, you could almost do kind of like what we were talking about tonight, like, I remember and behold is
yes.
You've given us a good minister, it should be enough. And you've given us a good children's minister, it should be enough.
Yes.
And just keep, you know, how blessed we are is that.
And that's what it's important. My thought is that I'll encourage everybody to take that thought and bring it to Thanksgiving or bring it to whatever that we, in our own lives, these are these personal, it sort of seems like these are big events that are going on.
Right.
But in reality, some of them are very little. Like, and that's like the last person, like Joanna, that gives hers.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't really talk about the miracles. She talks about giving her a family that she didn't have, because without it, it would make her life boring or whatever she said.
Right.
And so that's where we have to realize that it's something that's impacting us. So what is it that's got us here?
Oh, that'll be good.
So I'm going to go play around in the auditorium.
Looking forward to it.
If you get beat that people are in the auditorium,
do you need me to help pull a table out or anything? Or okay.
And the funny thing is, on Sunday, we put that table away that was there, and that's probably the one I'm going to bring out. Mm-hmm.